Welcome to Tony TV. Inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other. Delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business. We have a wonderful show planned for you today, and joining me today for the show is an amazing girl by the name of Pip Meacham. Now, Pip has a business called Project Box, and she is a self-confessed geek, but she has some wonderful ways to systemize your business. And that's all things system, from technology to processes and workflows. And she loves doing this, and she's very good at it and very fast at it. And she looks at how your business can do things better. And that in turn translates to a better business, ensuring that you have more time, more money, and you're optimized for efficiency and effectiveness. And these wonderful little tools and operating procedures are something that Pip has built her business on. And today, I also want to talk with Pip because she's a very special young lady. She's also a single mum with a wonderfully successful company, and I want to talk to her about that. But before we do that, welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business, Pip.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here today, and we are beaming live across Australia and the US via BBS Radio today, and this is your weekly dose of everyday business. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and Pip joins us from the Gold Coast. Now, Pip, have you always been a techno geek?
Oh, completely. I remember the day my parents got the first computer, and I was right in there with my dad setting it up, you know, trying to work out. This was before they color-coded ports. So I was trying to figure out what cords went in what hole. So it's been with me since a very, very young age.
Yeah. And so were you always in business for yourself?
No, I only started about 6.5 years ago, just before my daughter was born. Up until then, I was always working full time for other people, but always had this goal, had this dream of wanting to do more. Yeah.
And so, as we mentioned earlier in the process, you are doing this by yourself. So you're a single mum, and I've been a single mum. Thankfully, my children are, you know, old. And I have a 4-year-old grandson now, so those years are kind of behind me, but I will never forget how hard it is for a single mum who has to work full time. The combination of trying to be at school events and work and do what you need to do to keep food on the table is incredibly challenging. So how has that worked for you, Pip?
Yeah, really good systems. I'm really lucky that I have split custody of my daughter as well. So I can get 5 days in a fortnight where I'm child free. So the 20 hours. So I worked it out that the weeks I do have Lucy, I lose 20 working hours every week, which is effectively a part-time job when you think about it. So the weeks that I don't have her, or those few days, that's where I make up the time. But also really, really good systems are what have got me by for so long. And a dedication. And complete stubbornness, to be completely honest.
So I love the name of your company, which is called Project Box. How did you come up with the name?
To be completely honest, it was just a brainstorming session one day. Before Project Box, I used to have a virtual assistant business called the Admin Hub. And what happened was, is the day I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore, I realized that the Admin Hub wasn't really a name that I could carry on because it was very specific to what I was doing at the time. So part of the criteria of coming up with a company name was that it had to be generic enough that if the systemizing thing didn't work, I could still keep the name and just kind of, you know,
segue into something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It also means that I can have, you know, Project Box as a parent company long term and have different things that come off underneath it as well. Yeah. So as soon as I kind of verbalized it, it sat really well with me and it's just stuck ever since.
Fantastic. I love it. It in for me, when you say Project Box, it envisions all the things that you're so passionate about. And before we get onto that, do I hear the hint of a New Zealand accent?
Just a little.
Yes. Best people in the world come from New Zealand. You know that. Yes. And I'm not a New Zealand. I'm an Aussie.
I've been on the Gold Coast now for 13 years, so I have officially passed the fence at a point.
Yes,
but New Zealand's still home.
Yes,
yeah.
My grown-up son is in New Zealand and has been for the past 12 months. So we have beautiful shots of all the multiple places that he's been, and I can't wait until the borders open so we can actually go and see him in New Zealand. Yeah. So, and my best friend is also from, hey?
That's what's so hard at the moment as well, is you're so used to just being able to jump on a plane and go home, to not be able to do that is interesting.
It's particularly easy for us on the Gold Coast, isn't it? Because they have those direct, well, they used to have those wonderful direct flights from the Gold Coast to New Zealand. So you were there in, you know, 3 hours effectively. So it is just a jump over the ocean and you're there. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting times. How has COVID affected what you do, Pip?
Yep. So I'm one of the very lucky ones that my business has thrived through COVID. So the first sort of initial 2 to 3 weeks when everyone went into shock, things kind of died right off. And I was one of the worried ones going, what's going to happen now? Because being a Kiwi as well, I don't get the same level of support that what Australians do from the government. Yeah. So for me, it's sort of, you know, like it's a make or break situation. But very, very lucky that things, you know, people use that time to work on their businesses, which was great for me because that's what I help people do. So it's just continuously soared through that period.
Fantastic.
Very lucky.
I know so many of my business colleagues have done exactly that. They've used the time to restructure, and exactly what I've done as well, and try and automate things. So let's talk about the sorts of things that you do. So what's your process for helping other businesses?
It's really working out with them initially what it is that they want to achieve. So what I do, people come to me and they're like, we know we need you, we just don't know how. We know you can help us, we're just not sure in what capacity. So it's initially trying to work out what it is that they're trying to achieve and then what I can do to help them get to that point of view. So a lot of the time it's really sitting down with them to nut out what's actually happening in their business, because quite often what we think is happening is completely different to what's actually happening at the forefront. So we're helping them identify what their systems and processes are, and then working with them to, you know, potentially plug gaps or automate things or build out those standard operating procedures that they can really start to use in their business as well.
And these tools and systems, they apply to any business, from traditional bricks and mortar to entrepreneurs to anything really, can't they?
Yep, absolutely everybody.
Have you had lots of requests for the setting up of online courses and webinars and stuff? Have you had to help businesses do that sort of work over COVID?
Yeah, a few people have reached out about taking what, you know, their knowledge and building it out into online programs. So for me, it's more helping them make the right selection of technology to help them do that, because there's a lot of recommendations that float around, especially in the social media space, where they will reach out and ask for help. But the problem is the question is so vague and there's so many different types of software out there. So it's really helping them to clarify what it is that's actually going to, again, get them to that outcome that they're wanting to do, and sort of talk long term as well, not just to temporarily get them through COVID. So it's, you know, looking at and taking into account everything else that they're using as well to make sure it can all talk together.
Because when you start to talk, let's take online courses, for example, there's numerous ways that you can structure that. So from the WordPress plugin via your website to standalone platforms to the various other ways that you can deliver online courses. Do you find that you have a preference for particular platforms, or do you leave that to until you sort of work with the individual business to figure out what works well with them?
Yeah, I leave it until I've spoken to the individual business, because there's so many things that can be taken into consideration, you know, just even simple things like what their budget is, what they're willing to spend each month to have this and run this, what are the software and tools that they're using, how many courses they're wanting to have, how many students, you know, the kind of goes on and on. So I'm very tech agnostic. I know of a lot of the tools that are out there. Not all of them. No one's ever going to be able to know all of them.
No, because they seem to pop up all the time. I get those emails all the time about different WordPress plugins or this program or that program. And it does get very, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes. Definitely. Yep. And I get shiny object syndrome with them as well. So, you know, a new technology comes out, and I always say to people, technology is like crack for me. You know, it's like this massive addiction that something new comes out and I want to know about it and I want to master it, because then I can talk about it to other people, which, you know, allows me to help other people at the end of the day. Yeah.
So what's catching your eye at the moment? What bits of tech are exciting you at the moment?
Yeah, look, everyone knows I'm a huge fan of ClickUp, which is a project management tool.
Okay.
They are doing incredible things in that space. So I absolutely love supporting them and following their journey as well. And another fairly new one to the market is called, it's spelled G-E-R-U. I've yet to hear them pronounce it. So it's either Guru or Guru or I'm not actually sure. But what it does is it allows people to map out their marketing funnels. But it's not your normal sort of funnel simulator. You can actually start to put into it, you know, the cost of your product and what your conversion rates are, and start to really manipulate the scenario to take into account what's going to happen in the real world. It's very
So rather than being a funnel builder, it's a funnel mapper. Is that my understanding?
Yeah. So it would plot out the website landing page and then what the next step after that would be. But in between it, you would say, okay, so say it's an opt-in form for a lead magnet. Say you're giving away a PDF freebie. The first step is they would go to the website and then they would opt in. So between landing on that website page and say the thank you page, you can start to enter data around what the conversion rate of that is, and then you can start to adjust figures later on down the line, and you can start to get a really clear idea of what your income could potentially be. So for people who are doing online courses, it's a perfect one. You know, you normally go from an ad to a landing page, to a freebie, to a,
$1 to a 47, and onward and upwards. And what was the name of that again?
I'm going to just spell it G-E-R-U.
G-E-R-U, right, okay. And ClickUp, I've heard you speak about before.
Yeah, I absolutely. That software runs my whole business.
And tell us why you like that so much for running your whole business. What are the elements that make it easy for you?
Okay, so what it does, you know, everyone's probably heard of tools such as Asana and Trello and Monday. All those kind of things. What ClickUp does is it takes the best of all of those tools and puts them into one platform. So, potentially, you know, Monday's very much sort of spreadsheet focused, whereas ClickUp, you can view it like a spreadsheet, or you can view it like a Trello board, or you could view it like a conversation, like a Slack channel, or you can create like internal documents. You can do mind maps. And then they've also got things like automations. So you can start to do things such as a prime example is when I add a new lead into the platform and then market is turning to a sale, it automatically loads up my onboarding process. And then when we mark the onboarding process as being completed, it then automatically loads up the next lot of tasks depending on the type of project.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it, for me, it really manages the whole process level of my business.
See, I'm very new to this stuff, and I have to agree, Pip, like it excites me. When my EA started teaching me about how Zapier works, I just get more and more excited. And I'm like, oh, you can make it do that to that to that. Like, and so helpful in prompting me to make sure I do the certain steps. But you're telling me that ClickUp will do some of those things as well.
Yeah, so it actually takes over some of the admin tasks that we were previously having to do manually.
And did I hear you talk the other day that it has invoicing capacity as well?
No, ClickUp doesn't do invoicing, but via Zapier, I can get information to go from ClickUp into Xero.
Okay, so there's that. Zapier is just such a powerful little tool.
It really is.
For those people who've not heard of Zapier, let's talk about what it is and what it does.
Okay. All right, so Zapier is a piece of software that effectively lets one other piece of software talk to another one. So it's based on what they call triggers and actions. So for example, something will happen in one piece of software. So say, for example, I was talking about a lead to a sale before. I mark somebody as turning to a sale. Uh-huh. So that then triggers the Zap. So they're called Zaps. And then it has an action. So what's going to happen after that trigger has occurred? So in this case, the action is create a customer in Xero.
Okay.
So other examples of it is if people book in meetings with me via however it is, I've got automations that set up buffer times before and after the meeting. Because one thing that's, you know, really horrible is that when we're blocking out calendars, we don't leave enough time to prep for meetings, and we don't leave enough time to do the admin and the note taking and things after the meeting as well. So there's now an online meeting gets booked in, and it recognizes that it's an online meeting, and it adds in, you know, 15 minutes before and half an hour after.
Ah, oh, fantastic. See, I've been having this discussion with Jen this week about trying to build buffers around my shows and my meetings, because I've been finding that people, bless their socks, book in like half an hour in the lead up to a live show. Well, that's just too hard. That's just too hard for me to do, because I like to go into that zone where I review the information that of my guest that's coming on, and make sure that I need to go into that zone at least 15 minutes before the live show, and then a break afterwards, because you've been talking constantly for almost an hour. So I think I might have heard you talk about that on a recent Zoom with someone and thought, yes, we need to do that. I'm really interested that ClickUp has so much capacity to manage things for you. And it's interesting that you use Zapier to combine it with Xero. So my question is, when that Zap goes to Xero, does it manually remind you to set the customer up, or does that happen automatically?
It happens automatically. So that particular automation has two stages. It's picking up information that I've entered into ClickUp. So a person's name, email address, postal address, the personal contact details. It's then looking for that customer in Xero. If they don't exist yet,
find it.
The customer. And then the next step after that is to then create the actual invoice. Now, Xero has some limitations. If you're using QuickBooks, you can actually get it to send the invoice as well. So it depends on different software.
Oh gosh, that really does save work for business owners, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. So what
the point of getting information from, you know, like even just their contact details, to save having to re-enter that into another platform, it saves so much
Absolutely.
Time.
Yeah. Absolutely. So ClickUp and GERU we've talked about, and
Guru.
Zapier.
I'm gonna say Guru.
Guru. Let's call it Guru. 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 Okay. What's something else that is exciting you at the moment?
Something else. I actually got introduced to some new tech the other day from some local Gold Coasters called VidStep. So like video, VidStep. What it does is, because I'm such a process person, allows you to create, so when I do systems with people, effectively we do screen recordings of what they're doing on the computer, and then we break it down into the high level steps and create checklists. Okay. This software allows you to take that video and start to put menus into the video so you can skip to certain points and then create checklists and stuff off it as well. I only saw it last week. Very, very excited to see where it's going to go. And in fact, from my local Gold Coasters is even cooler.
I know. So let's spell that one out. That's called...
VidStep. V-I-D, Victor Victor. Step. T-E-P.
Uh-huh. So effectively, rather than writing down your processes, you can video, and then this will help you put it into a process.
A checklist, So the video explains, you know, the how and the why. So how to actually do something and the reason why you're doing things as well. Because it's sometimes for a lot of people, you know, we need to know why we're doing something. It just helps us to resonate with it a lot more. But it's the checklist that people use on a day-to-day basis. So it's not telling people how to do things, but it's making sure that they don't forget that step in a process. I mean, you know, I'm a systems person, and one day I was at an expo a couple of years ago and had people opting in to receive some free stuff from me. And I got home and I realized that I'd missed a part of my, in my checklist, I'd missed a step and had not turned the automation on. So everybody who opted in did not get a single thing.
Oh, well.
Human, okay? Totally human. Yep. But now, you know, I had to go and fix it after that. But effectively, you know, each time now I go and create an opt-in process, there is a checklist. And the very last step is check to see if it's on.
That must have been just terrible. I could just imagine all that work.
So embarrassing as well, because I'm such a systems person. It was a bit of a kick to my ego.
But it just goes to show that even the experts don't get it right. So it's about learning and that. So what are your favorite automations? Are they automated emails? Are they automated tasks? What's your favorite?
So I'm actually, as much as I love automation, I'm highly against automating emails.
Really?
Yeah, I just find it's really impersonal to customers. And also the way that most email automation tools work is they're attached to a CRM or email marketing software. And the problem with that is a lot of inboxes are actually picking it up as promotional material, and you can't guarantee that people are going to see it.
Great
for leads and marketing and that kind of thing. But once you get clients, every single email that comes from me comes from
you.
With my Gmail account. Yeah.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong. Things are templated. They're not automated. So part of like my onboarding process is we might go and schedule emails. So an example of this is when I finish a project with a client, I schedule emails for the next 12 months. So one will go out a week later. One will go out 3 weeks later, 6 weeks, 3 months. 6 months and then 12 months.
Yep.
I don't have to do anything with it ever again. It only takes 5 minutes to schedule those emails.
Yes.
But they'd come from me personally. You know, there's no unsubscribe link at the bottom of them. There's no dodgy tracking things in them. You know, there's nothing there.
Okay. So they're templated and scheduled, but they don't look like something that you can unsubscribe from.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
The easiest way you can tell is if you've received an automated email is look at the bottom for an unsubscribe link, because every email that has to go out from email marketing software, you have to offer people the ability to
unsubscribe.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating. Okay.
Sneaky little tip.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, what does your six-year-old think about what mum does?
She thinks I boss people for a living. Yep, that's, you ask her what her mum does, my mum bosses people.
I think that that's a good thing though. Like, obviously your skills are in organising, systemising, customising things. And so she's going to learn some great skills as she grows up.
We had a really great conversation about a week ago. We were talking about what she wanted to be when she grew up. Yeah. And I said to her that when I was her age, I wanted to be a teacher. And then I started laughing and she said to me, she goes, "Mum, what's so funny?" And I said, "Well, that didn't work out very well, did it?" And she turned around and looked at me and she goes, "But you do teach people." She's like, "You teach people all the time. You are a teacher."
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. That is very cool.
Yeah.
And so, Pip, do you work with predominantly small to medium business or do you do big corporation stuff as well?
No, predominantly small to medium business. I like being able to get in and kind of deal with the change makers directly at the top, I guess.
Because I imagine that the bigger the business, the bigger their systems, processes and stuff is, and you get into a different territory then.
You do. I mean, the process to do that kind of stuff within a corporate business is pretty much the same. There's just a lot more of a hierarchy to go through if things need to be changed. Which is why I'm happy to leave that to other people. And stick to small to medium business.
Your ability though is to help small to medium businesses across the world. It's not just relegated to Australia. You can help anyone across the world.
Currently, yes. I've got clients in 10 countries across the world at the moment. So definitely not something that I'm limited to the Gold Coast for.
Zoom is
a wonderful thing.
And I was just going to say, so you're obviously then doing lots of Zooms to help them. How do they go when you're physically not there to go through their systems? How do you manage that challenge?
So there's a lot of screen sharing with the technical side of things. So when they're actually showing me what's on their screen, it's really hard to do for businesses that might be more, you know, physical where they're not using the computer to do things. They're a little bit different. They'll normally use people within their own countries to do that because you need to physically be there with handycams and mics and stuff like that. Predominantly though, I work with service-based businesses. So for me, most of their systems are on the computer anyway. Then it's just having the ability and knowing how to get people talking and extract that information out. I always say to people that when I work with them, I will challenge you and I will ask a lot of questions and I will try and break things, but I do it out of love to try and then rebuild it back together to make it stronger.
So do you find that there are still businesses out there that have no tech associated with their business, or do predominantly small to medium businesses nowadays have a reasonable amount of knowledge around tech?
I find a lot of people have it. They've either just they're using the wrong tech for their business, or they might only know how to use little things like Excel spreadsheets and just don't have the confidence to make the jump into some software that's actually going to help them and help them save time. So I always say to people, when we go through this systemizing process, whether it's just, you know, putting new software in place or whatever it is, things are always going to feel like they take harder and longer at the start. You know, there's normally a, you know, 1 to 3 month transition period to get used to doing things a new way and to find your way around software. So it's not, you know, I can't come in and just magically wave a wand and everything be okay. It does take commitment from everyone within the business to get used to functioning a new way effectively. You know, sometimes we're rewriting a whole business.
Yeah. And in that space, not only do you have to teach, but the individuals within the business have to learn that new process and then practice it and finesse it and troubleshoot. So that's not a quick process, is it? What's the average time that you tend to find that you need to work with a small business, Pip?
It really depends on what it is that we're doing. It could be anything from just a day's consulting because they want specific training in ClickUp, or yes. It might be anywhere from, you know, a 6 to 12 month long project if they're a yes. larger business and want to fully document absolutely yes. everything. On average though, normally around 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not so long. That's doable.
And then it's then just being there to provide the support afterwards. So normally I can kind of, you know, push things over a little bit and go, right, it's yes. now up to you, but I'm here to help you if you need yeah. anything. More and more people are sort of wanting to go down the path where they almost have me in their back pocket for 6 to 12 months. So that,
yeah,
you know, things, the problem is when you put new systems into place, like we can have all the best intentions in the world, but it's yes. until you actually start implementing them and using it. Yeah. And then the other thing is, for example, if I was to come and build out ClickUp in your business and do absolutely everything it could possibly do right at the start, you're just going to go into this huge state of shock and overwhelm. So it's kind of staging things a little bit sometimes as well to go, let's just get the basics done. And then over the next 6 to 12 months, we'll tweak it and update it and start to introduce all of these automations. Because one of the yeah. big thing with automation as well is that unless the process is constant, we can't automate it.
Yeah.
You know, because if something slightly changes or you do something slightly different, the automation's yeah. not going to work effectively.
No.
Sometimes you need to like let things settle for a little bit and then come back and rejig things.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have, if someone wanted you to implement a ClickUp into their business, you have a process that you follow even for that?
Yeah,
that you'll do X here and then in 2 weeks time you'll do such and such and then 3 weeks yeah. time you do. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of it. So there's kind of different variations of it.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, if I get a very, very tech savvy client who's been in the platform for 2 months already and just need help to,
yes.
you know, use it properly or more effectively, we can do everything in one go because they've got that prior knowledge.
Background.
And, you know, they do have the technical capabilities, whereas you do get people who are, you know, tech phobic, you know, they yes. literally, everything they touch breaks. So for those yeah. people, we do have to do it in stages.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've got different plans based on where people are at.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really about you assessing where they're at and what's in their business in the first place and then tailoring it to what they need.
Yeah. So part of like the initial call is to work out where people are at, the type of person that they are, where they want to go, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a little note down here. I wanted to ask you about AI. Is that part of what you do, and if so, where does it fit in the project box?
So not part of what I do, but completely fascinates me.
I know. I was hoping you'd say because I really think that that's going to be part of the way that we do business going into the future. But yeah. when I was doing a bit of research, there's sort of really, really technical information or not anything that's helpful, and I sort yep. of I want the stuff in between. So what have you learned about it so far?
Oh, look, I haven't had much of a chance to research it. I have yeah. like this to-do list of things that keeps yeah, coming yeah. up. It'll be articles that I've found or
yes.
You know, courses off Udemy that I want to go and actually complete to teach me how to do specific things within it as well. So
yeah,
my knowledge isn't that great, unfortunately, at the moment. Things I just keep pushing the snooze button on because life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way. But do you think that technology will start to see more and more of that?
Definitely. Yeah.
It's like a growth.
It's going to take a lot for people to embrace it as well. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people,
yes.
you know, having so much be known about us and done for us, and you know, it's kind of getting into that world of the Jetsons, and I just, you know, it's a really interesting spot to be in. Yeah.
Well,
I
can't wait till we have rocket cars like the Jetsons. Like I want to see that before I'm too old to get in one. Like yeah. that sounds fabulous to me. So if you take that same sort of technology and apply it to your business, it can only be good, hey?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, I'm one of those people that absolutely embrace technology in everything that I do. You know, I've got smartwatches and phones, and I've just recently upgraded my car, so now I can actually
yes. talk
everything through my car, and it does. Oh, it's amazing! Like I can
what
literally.
What sort of car, Pip?
It's a Nissan Qashqai.
Yes, yes.
But basically, I can have a full texting conversation with somebody and not have to pick my phone up at all. So I get my Facebook messengers, I get my text messages.
Really?
I send emails. It's fantastic. Yeah. So imagine how productive I am on the road.
I'm just thinking exactly that. Mind you, I do like to keep my time on the road for listening to audiobooks because that's the only time I get to read / hear yeah. the good books. But now you're telling me that you can send emails from your car. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Look, my car time is normally car karaoke time. It's how I, yeah. you know, wind yeah. myself up and wind yeah. down again at the end of the day. So I yeah. try and avoid it where possible
yeah.
just to give me time to rest my brain yes. more than anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Music goes up, the windows go down, and I'm in my singing element.
Yeah.
Not that the yeah. other people on the road like that.
They're too cares.
Yeah, I don't care.
So the technology that you're speaking about for your car is, what's the name of it? How does it work?
It's just called Android Auto. So I have an Android phone. I'm not an yeah, Apple yeah. user, but there's an Apple version of it. And it just all talks together. So between...
And now I'm wondering if Apple CarPlay has the same capacity.
Potentially, yes. Yeah.
Ah.
Have a look.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's all that sort of, you know, voice dictating kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly spot on. I can have the windows down and be doing 100 kilometers an hour on the highway
yeah.
and
yeah.
it will still pick up an accurate message, which fascinates me as well, because I thought the wind noise
yes.
would be too much. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
really cool.
Really interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So that's for Android phones only and not for Apples.
But so I think Apple CarPlay is the same version. Yeah.
Okay. So that means that my Apple CarPlay should be able to do similar things, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, yeah. New tech comes out and I want to have it and I want to play with it and I want to, you know, I'm a real geek at heart.
Yeah. So, Pip, what sort of things do you have in mind for the future of Project Box and your business?
Yeah, so my big goal with Project Box is to actually open up a mentoring academy for high school kids. So
yes.
what I want to do is for, I'll say kids, but teenagers
yeah.
who
yeah.
do not want to go to TAFE or uni and also don't have the experience to go and get a job.
Uh-huh.
I want to be able to bring them into Project Box for them to actually tell me what it is that interests them
yes.
to give them the skills and the experience that they need and then kick them out the door 12 months later or 24 months
yeah.
later to go
yeah.
and get them get a job. So
yeah.
it's really kind of bringing them in and training them but in a working workplace, like a real life.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And then also to provide mentorship to those who have dreams of being an entrepreneur as well. You know,
yes.
I'm very lucky that I come from a very supportive family.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of teenagers and people in their early 20s who just don't have that. So to be able to
yeah.
you know, give them a space to be able to talk about that kind of stuff, that really interests me and gets my everything flowing
yes.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think, Pip, that you will teach them a broad type of education, or that depends on whether they've got a specific interest in, say, a ClickUp or Zapier or
yeah.
whatever they're interested in?
I think it's going to be tailored a lot on what it is that they want to do once they leave me. So if they were to come and say that they wanted to go work with digital marketers, I'd
yes.
get them involved in the marketing side of the business. So,
yeah.
you know, social media and advertising and websites and all of that
and
kind of stuff.
Funnels and...
Yeah. 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 Whereas yeah. if they came and said they wanted to get more into the operational things, or they wanted
uh-huh.
to be a receptionist or a virtual,
yeah.
just depends on the, again, I'm all about outcomes. So it would be
yeah.
about the outcome that they specifically wanted to achieve. So the type of job that they wanted to get as a result of, I guess, having some experience. You know, I
yeah.
never went to TAFE or uni. Everything I've ever learned has been yes. on the job and like
yes.
self-development and all of that kind of
yes.
stuff. So to just find, yeah, really help them just work towards whatever it is that they want to do.
So it doesn't mean that you, just because you haven't got a degree in something, that you can't gather or glean the knowledge. So for me, my credentials are in nursing and health and management. So I've actually not, same as you, Pip, I've not got the, all the stuff that I know or have learned is from my own self-development, and I'm curious by nature. And again, tech and its ability to help streamline your life is one of my things that I love. And so and when coming on this show, like for BBS Radio, the exciting thing for me is to know that while I'm talking to you, this is live streaming to YouTube and LinkedIn and Facebook and to all of the BBS platforms. Like there's, I don't know, 350 of them, and that's all happening seamlessly while you and I are talking live on air. That really makes my day.
It's cool.
I know.
Absolutely.
That capacity to talk to multiple more people whilst having a one-on-one conversation, that excites me as well. And I can see where Project Box and all the things that you do are such a valuable commodity now and will be into the future. And looking into the future and your desire to want to educate young people, and well, it doesn't have to be young people, does it?
It could be anybody.
60-year-old who wants to retrain and learn how to be a VA, because VAs are becoming more and more standard for many businesses. And if COVID has shown us anything, that people have a wonderful capacity to work from home and improve their lifestyle and their quality of life, but still be earning an income and helping people do what they do. So you did your VA stuff for a number of years, and you still obviously have those skills to teach what a virtual assistant does. So you still do some of that as well, Pip?
No, not at all. I'm purely solely focused on systems and processes now. I teach a few VAs how to do use the various technology that they need to help their clients, but I don't do virtual assistant work anymore. It's something that I gave up 4 years ago when Project Box
started to take off.
Yeah.
If we're thinking about workflows in a business, is it common that any workflow within any business, if you pick one to work on, there's always improvements that you can make?
Generally speaking, yes. Especially, it's really hard for people who use it on a day-to-day basis to see that.
Okay.
Getting somebody to come in from an external party or someone who doesn't use it all the time. And I would say to people, you know, even when you're developing processes from scratch, get somebody who doesn't do that task to actually test it.
Okay.
Because you'll find if there's any gaps in the training or anything like that. That sometimes, especially business owners, we get so caught up in doing what it is that we do each day, it's hard to see outside of what it is that you're currently doing, which is where I get, you know, like I said, I get to come in and break everything and then rebuild it.
So businesses can get you on the phone and go, hey, Pip, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Let me think if I can think of it. Okay. So my guest booking process, for instance. We have you've done it for me. So we have an email and a conversation and then a jot form that you fill out. So you could actually come in and look at that process that we have in place at the moment and go, okay, this is how you could improve that and make it work better and more streamlined. Am I getting that correct?
Correct. And I look at it from the point of view of not just you, but also the journey that you're putting the other
customer
party through as well. Yeah, because to me that's really important.
Absolutely.
Sometimes when we make things easy in business, it's actually making things harder for the customer. So it's about finding that fine line where you know, it's worth, like, you know, like I said, I spend extra time sending personalized emails because it's part of that customer journey. I want to make it as easy as possible for them to be able to work with us. And if we have to do a little bit more work to manage that, so be it. I would rather take that on board. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really looking at that point of view to go, okay, what is that customer's journey with you through filling out that form and becoming a guest on your show?
Yeah.
But what's also happening in the back end for you? You know, it'd be things like, where does the information from the drop form go once somebody fills it in? All of those kind of little bits and pieces as well. You know, just you talking like that, my brain starts ticking over.
I know. It's exactly the same, Pip. My brain's going, oh, okay. Now my brain skips forward and going, okay, so we've set all this up, and like you and I, we're having this wonderful conversation. Then what happens after the program? And my brain skips forward to go, oh, I need to do that, or I need to do that, I need to do that. And I was listening to a wonderful speaker the other day, and they were talking about how they encourage their customers, and they send these beautiful postcards, but it's all automated. And so when I was thinking about talking to you, I thought, I must ask Pip about that. Is that an automation that is easy to set up? So it would simply be customer information to the company that sends out the postcards to make sure it happens within a certain time frame after the show. Yeah?
Yeah, correct. So you might find specific software that does that online for you. And then they might have, you know, integrations or different bits of code that allows it to talk to another platform that you're using. Or it might simply be a case of, you know, I send boxes of chocolates to my clients. All I do is flip the chocolate company, the name and the email address and the postal address, and they take care of the rest. I then don't touch it. So, you know, it's not entirely automated, but it's enough that all we have, and we have a templated email that says, hey, Alicia, here's the next one. All we do is fill in the name and the address, and then that's it. So, you know, it's a 10-second email to send something nice to somebody. Yeah.
And I don't know, it seems to be a little bit of a lost art, perhaps. There doesn't seem to be a lot of that happens too much. And that's something that I would like to do in my own business, is have that automated, rather than just a thank you email, but something as well.
It's a matter of deciding what you want and then going finding a solution that's going to allow you to do that.
Okay, so you, what's the furthest country in the world that you work with a business?
UK at the moment, and United Arab Emirates as well. So they're the furthest away.
How do you manage the time zone differences?
It's very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
So, like I mentioned earlier, I'm very lucky that, you know, 5 days in a fortnight, I don't have Lucy. So I'm pretty flexible with times on those days. So if I do need to do like a super early session or a super late one as well, we can make it work. I don't tell people that the reason why I'm only giving them that specific day is because of Lucy. It's just a matter of getting it to fit in. And they appreciate that you can work around them as well. Sometimes they will actually be flexible at their end as well, and they'll meet you halfway. So we both might be working at 8 o'clock at night and 8 in the morning or something like that.
Usually you can find a time that has some synergy. So again, going back to this show, so we're talking at lunchtime in Australia. It's actually evening time in the US on the Pacific side of the US, a little bit later on the eastern side of the US, but learning that you can do that cross-continent collaboration and work has been fascinating for me as well. And I must say, I don't always get it right. I have this wonderful little app on my phone called Synchronize. And seriously, I would be so lost without it, because it tells me what time it is in all the different time zones in Australia, and then lots of different time zone across the world. Because on any given day, I'll find myself talking to Canada, the US, the UK, and perhaps someone in India or the Philippines even. So, makes it challenging. And that
last week I had to deliver ClickUp training to a company that has offices in 5 different countries around the world. So we had Singapore, we had Bali, we had London, we had Melbourne, and we had Abu Dhabi. So trying to coordinate that was incredibly interesting.
How did you find a time that suited them all?
I let them sort out the time that worked for the bulk of their team.
Yes.
And then I just let me know, this is the day I can do it.
Yes.
I'll just make it work. You tell me when suits you.
Good. And they managed to do that, obviously.
Yeah, and the best thing was, I think it was at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my time, which was even better.
Oh, yeah. See, it's often that afternoon time that I find that overseas, it works well with overseas companies as well, which was interesting. So the platforms and systems and all the bits and pieces of tech that you use, they're readily available and available across the majority of continents across the world. It's not, you're not finding things that are specific to, say, India or specific to the UK. You find that generally the things that you find that work the best are available across the whole world.
Definitely. They normally come or, originate from US or Canada or something like that.
Yes.
So a lot of the default settings within the software will need to be changed, such as the way we write our dates and our times and currency and things like that. But when the platforms are being built, they're accounting for that. So it's very easy to use a US-based software company here in Australia. There's generally no issues whatsoever. And, it's one of the best things about the cloud is that we can do that.
There's
a really great tool, actually, speaking of my favorites, there's some software called Emma.ai.
yes,
and what it is I put a calendar booking into my calendar with an address. I use the Google suite of apps, so it's Google Calendar. Emma goes and looks at where I am before the calendar, where I'm going to, and then puts the travel time into my calendar. So I say that I travel by car all the time. She knows where I live, so she knows my base. Yeah. I say she because it's got a female name. knows my base and is literally calculating my travel for the day as I'm moving between different places. Can also recognize whether it's a Zoom call or not. So if it's a Zoom call, there's no travel time.
She doesn't calculate. Allowed.
No, but then my Zap will kick in and put in the buffers for Zoom calls. Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm loving that idea, Pip. I'm really loving that idea around
Emma has
buffers.
Been a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Really cool. Because I used to spend so much time, I'd be on the phone to somebody trying to work out how long it would take me to get from home to wherever it was that their business was located.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to take into account the possibilities of traffic.
Yes.
And then I'd have to go and put it into my calendar to make sure that nobody booked in other times. And it was just a nightmare. So Emma is worth the $11 a month, I think I paid for that.
The princely sum of $11 a month.
Yeah.
And that works with your Google calendars.
Yeah. I think it actually works with, whatever calendar that you're using. But I am Google-based. So, it does.
It's kind of become like a no-brainer to go with the Google stuff because it's easy and most people have some sort of connection to Google in whatever way, shape, or form.
I tend to find startups and small businesses will tend to use Google, whereas once you get the mediums and the corporates, they're all sort of Office 365, Microsoft-based. Generally speaking, though, that's a very generalization around how it works.
Yeah.
There are some small businesses and entrepreneurs who just love the Office suite of products because of what they can do. I tend to focus more on the Google stuff. I mean, can work with both, but I do love Google.
It
integrates really well with everything else. That's all.
Yeah, it's those integrations that become important once you start doing this system automation type work. It's what will integrate with what best, and often that makes my decision. If it doesn't integrate with some of the things that I've already got, well, it kind of gets a no out of the bat.
And that was my main reason. I used to love Outlook so much. I love the whole Microsoft thing of products. And then I think I actually signed up to ClickUp and realized that the calendar sync was only one way with Microsoft, but it's two way with Google. So I just went, nope, that's it. I've got to jump the gun now. Like, I just need to make a change.
And again, it's just, it takes you time to learn something new and learn a new process of how to do it.
And I used to hate Gmail with an absolute passion. So to move
I'm not a real fan, but I'm getting used to it, let me say. Yeah.
I gave myself 12 weeks. I said, if at the end of 12 weeks you still hate it, you can move back. You know, I'm giving myself permissions.
Yes.
But I was about 4 weeks in and I finally jigged Gmail to work exactly how I wanted it, with more benefits and features than what I was getting out of Microsoft.
Out of Outlook.
And now I'm an avid lover of it. You know, I've kind of gone from one extreme to the other. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Pip, thank you so much. We are completely out of time. What a wonderful conversation. Thank you for coming on Radio Tony Everyday Business. And a big plug for Pip and her business is projectbox.com.au. She can work with you anywhere in the world. So that's Pip Minchin from projectbox.com.au. And that, my wonderful friends, is Radio Tony Everyday Business Wrap for the Week. Over to you, Don.
Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.